Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 8th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with all the day's agricultural news. And I'll tell you something about my travels over the last 24 hours. I've managed to see Lake Michigan and the Ohio River, the Chicago Board of Trade, and the U of I's Dixon Springs Research Farms. Just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt. Should be a good show, so stay with us on this Thursday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat down 25 and three quarters at $7.62. The March at $7.89, down 19. And July futures at $6.81.5, a dime lower for the day. December corn futures up 5.25 at $3.89.5. March at $4.06.25, up 5. The May up 4.5 at $4.16.25. In December, corn at $4.35.25 for next year, up 2.75 cents. November soybeans 4.25 higher at $10.28. January at $10.41.25, up 2.75. And the March contract at $10.56.25, 3.25 higher. November soybeans next year, down 4 cents, $9.72.5, the settlement price. December bean meal at $2.78.40, down $3.50. December bean oil up 51 at $44.15. Mercantile exchange numbers, December live cattle, $95.40, 52.5 higher. February at $98.35, up 30, and November's at $107.75, unchanged for the day. January feeders at $107.67.5, 50 cents higher. December lean hog futures $51.47.5, unchanged on the afternoon. Outside markets, December crude oil at $95.32, down $1.05, and the CRB at $354.31, up $3.30 for the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average now 193 points lower at 13,106 for the afternoon. Taking a look now at how things finished in the Board of Trade and Mercantile Exchange. With us on this Thursday afternoon is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me what your cycles and your charts are telling you about the corn market, please.
Well, cyclically, we've been up here about 4 weeks, so we are entering kind of a time window between now and the next couple of weeks for maybe corn to put in a 10-week cycle high. As far as the charts go, everything still in a nice little uptrend. We did, though, here yesterday punch up against the upper end of a channel line that connected the the high that we had here back in July 13th, the recovery high, with the high that we had here late September and then yesterday. So we are at the upper end of a channel. The market is teetering with maybe some overbought technical levels. So, you know, it is it wouldn't be surprising to see some kind of period of consolidation anyway, or even maybe even a little setback as we go on into next week.
And what do you think Friday will bring from USDA?
Well, I don't have any other information other than what everybody else has, so I guess I'm in the same frying pan, thinking that the corn yield could come down a little bit. However, there's an awful lot of good corn in the Eastern Corn Belt. I mean, Illinois and Indiana and Ohio had exceptional yields, so I wouldn't be terribly shocked to see if USDA left the yield unchanged, maybe even raised it. I think there's a possibility there. I would not rule that out based upon at least, talking to farmers and country elevator points, at least in the Eastern Corn Belt, we've got an awful good crop.
If you start to think longer term about the marketplace and maybe some of the inflationary fears that have crept into the broader economy. How does that work into what happens in Chicago and what happens at the farmstead?
Well, everything, at least the last 3-4 weeks, it's always been an influence, but it seems like it's come to the front page over the last 3 weeks, is the decline in the dollar. We've had an acceleration of that decline here this past week. So, as the dollar weakens, that makes commodities priced in U.S. dollars cost in more dollars. So basically what the markets have reflected, I think, in this price strength is the weakness of the dollar. if you I just got done comparing a study dividing the corn price by the dollar index, and actually, price-wise, we're up to where we were in late September in this 389.90 level on December corn futures, but in the dollar index, we're actually a dime lower. So the weakness in the dollar has kept the market actually a dime lower, and then in dollar index terms, we're actually a dollar less. We're $2.90 rather than $3.90. So, that keeps foreign buyers interested in buying U.S. corn. It is still relatively cheap in their currencies compared to the dollar. So we had a good export sales number here here today, and, that looks like that's going to probably continue. There's a lot of good demand underneath the corn market.
Do you think on the export side, USDA will raise its projected exports for the marketing year?
There's room for that to happen, but on the other hand, there's room for them to maybe bring down the domestic demand on the ethanol front. There's a lot of mixed ideas on what we may or may not crush this coming year on ethanol. So there is some room to come down on that front. But, again, like you said, the export sales have been strong enough that you could see some upward adjustment, I think, in exports. At least it's definitely warranted at this point.
You've had maybe enough time to ask the ADM folks that you work with how their ethanol strategy changes over time, and whether they believe that there will be less usage in the coming year than projected or not?
Well, we don't know anything more than what the industry knows.
We've had some pressures.
The profit centers, there's been some pressures on ethanol, just like everybody else is producing ethanol. And we are, like everyone else, is a little concerned with, how quickly the growth of the ethanol market does materialize over the next year. There's going to have to be some changes to keep us back on track, or otherwise, we're probably going to see some form of at least cutback, unless we can deal with this blend wall that we currently have.
Yeah, let me ask it in a different way, because I don't know that I was very clear, and I still might not be. Historically speaking, is there any pattern to the ebb and flow of ethanol demand from the ADM side, so that they've been doing ethanol for quite some time, and have they, or does ethanol demand stay fairly static over time? I know it's risen, but as it rises, is there some kind of ebb and flow that they see?
Well, you're not. Yeah, it's such a. Granted, ethanol's been around for a long time, but it's not a market that really ebbs and flows, because we've had a pretty strong demand curve here over the past couple of years, or especially this past year. So you really haven't had any ebb and flows, and it has been pretty strong. Now, what's got everybody in trouble, of course, is the profit margins. The higher prices of corn haven't been able to pass off the higher prices of corn in the ethanol market. Now, ethanol has bubbled up a little bit here over the past few weeks, which is, renewing some hopes that maybe things ain't quite as bad as what everybody thought it was. But it's still a relatively young, small market to see the, supply-demand tables or curves kind of work in that market like it would, like more so in the corn market, Todd.
Tell me about the soybean market for today.
Well, soybeans, the trade, I think, is, you know, kind of looking for a little higher yield. The yields in Iowa were fairly consistent throughout the state. So I think there's room maybe for some upward adjustment in soybeans. I don't necessarily think the acres have been bought. I know the trade's thinking that soybean acres are going to be up 7 million and corn acres are going to be down 7 million. I'm not necessarily convinced of that. I think when you still look at it on a per-acre basis, it still favors planting corn on corn rather than going to soybeans. So I think soybeans is still now pretty much waiting to see what South America comes up with. If there's weather problems in South America, that soybean market's got some legs underneath it to probably go to some higher levels, because when you look at longer term, the supply and demand tables are quite tight on soybeans.
What do you hear about their planting progress? How far along are they?
I don't have a specific number, but things are going real well. They ought to be in pretty good shape by now, and they'll continue planting probably all the way into middle part of December, and there's been no problems, but I don't have a specific planting completion number, but they'd ought to be pretty well along.
Has the market done enough to this point to buy acres out of Brazil, or will they need to continue to do so?
Well, we've bought some acres. The question is you know, is it a 4% increase or an 8% increase? And I think that's the question. And so far, the weather has been favorable enough that there is not any planting delays and this kind of stuff that one would maybe think that maybe their plantings could be at the higher end of trade estimates on that.
Anything else to add for the day before I let you go?
No, that's pretty well it. We'll see what tomorrow morning's reports does. Like I said, I don't think anybody's expecting anything big, but that's usually, you know, fasten your seatbelts on something like that.
Well, we'll fasten our seatbelts and send out an email, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Zwicker is with ADM Green Group in Decatur, Illinois. Speaking of the email, you can sign up to get those numbers delivered to your email box, inbox, directly tomorrow morning. If you do that tonight, I'll make sure you get it in the morning. Just go to our website at willag.org, that's willag.org, and subscribe to our weekend newsletter. While you're there, you might check out some of the MP3 files from the daily radio programming, or even sign up for one of our podcasts. At the bottom of the hour, agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us, by the way, to take a look at the agricultural weather. AM580's own Mr. Pounder says tonight a mix of clouds, or partly cloudy skies, rather, across the two-state region. Lows will range from 32 in northwestern part of Illinois to 40 in the south. And tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine. Highs will range from 49 in the north to 60 in the south.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my travels over the last 24 hours, but first, my sincere thanks go out to Dave Dickey for filling in on short notice yesterday. That's much appreciated here on the Closing Market Report. I spent yesterday afternoon at the Chicago Union League. That's just a block or two to the east of the Chicago Board of Trade on Jackson in the Loop. I was there to present, for all intents and purposes, a TV commercial I'd written and produced with the help of my colleague Steve Parker. It was about a program called Market Maker, and frankly, if you are a row crop farmer, this won't make a lot of difference to you today, but things might change, as they often do on the farm, over time. Market Maker is an online database championed by Rich and Dar Knipe of the U of I Extension in Moline. The couple believe there should be an easier way for specialty crop farmers to find niche markets, and in fact, for those niche markets to find them. Market Maker does that trick, and it does it really, really well. And not only in Illinois, but in Iowa, Nebraska, Kentucky, and Georgia, and New York, and if yesterday was any indication, soon 16 states across the country and the District of Columbia. That's an important project, and I urge you to take time to visit the Market Maker website. The address is www.marketmaker.uiuc.edu. Now, if you want, you can do this to find a product you're interested in finding and learning more about, or that you just cannot find in the store. Please give it a shot. It's called Market Maker, and it's a website developed here at the University of Illinois. So I went to Chicago yesterday to present a promo piece about Market Maker. That's much easier to do when you believe in the product, by the way. And I came home last night and this morning flew to deep southern Illinois, all the way to the Ohio River and to the Dixon Springs Research Center. Now, if you haven't spent any time in the deep southern part of our fair state, this weekend would be a good one to go. The trees are beautiful, and so is the South, with its rolling and knotty landscape, wineries, parks, the Shawnee National Forest, and even the Cache River Basin. That is home to the furthest north cypress swamp in the United States. Dixon Springs has been the center for agricultural research and innovation in southern Illinois since 1938, although some times have been better than others. The chancellor of the University of Illinois was on that research farm today to say once and for all that the breadth of Illinois from Chicago to Cave Rock would be the home to agricultural research. Let me read you a few paragraphs from his prepared remarks. Southern Illinois, he said, has always been a diverse region ripe with incredible potential. There are specialty crops, a wine industry, and endless destinations for tourists and retirees, hikers and birders. There are traditional industries of forestry and mining, as well as a vital barge transportation industry on the Ohio and Mississippi rivers. There's a small town pride here that is the fabric of Illinois rural life. And we want to help Southern Illinois, we being the University of Illinois, grow in a way that captures that potential and leaves intact the unrivaled natural beauty and the unique and rich culture of the region. And there's also this. Almost 50 years ago, Baker Brownell wrote about Southern Illinois. This is folk America, the germinal society from which our democratic customs, industries, and arts continuously emerge. It is the life of small communities and of fields and farms. We lose it at our own peril, but lose it we shall if we do not bring to it support of the advantages of modern education, science, and administration. This is what Dixon Springs Agricultural Center is all about. This is why we are here and why we're excited about the possibilities that await us all. That, of course, from this morning's presentation at Dixon Springs from the Chancellor of the University of Illinois. His name is Richard Herman. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take a look at the agricultural news for the day.
In agricultural news, Washington Insider is reporting today that deep disagreements over payment limits, renewable fuel standards, and funding for the Senate version of the Farm Bill makes approval by Thanksgiving unlikely. WI believes it could be next spring before issues are ironed out. Congressional sources are saying that the Bush administration's scathing report and threatened veto of the Farm Bill are forcing several traditional farm state lawmakers to struggle over whether to support the president or support the bill. Movement on the bill has also been slowed by disagreement over debate rules, including one to limit amendments to germane issues. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid.
But, Mr. President, we went back and checked the record. It's the way it's always done. In the last several decades, the Farm Bill does not have non-relevant amendments. The last Farm Bill that Senator Daschle was the leader here, had my job, there was one non-relevant amendment. That was since the Senate resolution offered by Senator Kyle on the estate tax.
Yesterday, Senate Republican Minority Leader Mitch McConnell took offense at Reid's attempt to restrict amendments to the Farm Bill. McConnell says that Reid is attempting to, quote, give himself total authority over what amendments will be offered. Meanwhile, South Dakota Senator John Thune says a gridlock has revived discussion about an extension of the 2002 Farm Bill.
This week and next are critical in terms of timing, and if we don't get a Farm Bill through the Senate by the end of next week, then in all likelihood we may end up with some sort of an extension, because on November the 16th we have what they call a continuing resolution expires, we have to pass another one, and that would mean passing temporary extensions of some of the Farm Bill provisions. And I suspect it would be very possible at that point that we not just pass a temporary extension, but some sort of a long-term extension that would take us into next year. So my hope would be that we can break this logjam, that we can both sides give a little bit, and we can get on with the business of passing a Farm Bill, if not this week, for sure next week.
In other Senate news, lawmakers today overrode President Bush's veto of the $23 billion Water Resources Development Act. Earlier this week, the House also overrode the veto. It's the first time Congress has approved an override in the Bush administration. The U.S. House today approved a free trade deal with Peru by a 285-132 vote. U.S.-Peru trade totaled about $8.8 billion last year. The Senate is expected to give final congressional approval to the deal by the end of the year. The U.S.-Peru agreement is the first of four trade deals Bush wants Congress to approve before he leaves office in early 2009. The others are with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea. USDA Undersecretary for Food Safety testified yesterday before a House subcommittee, telling members that the agency is searching for solutions as to why 2007 has seen a spike in E. coli-related beef recalls. Richard Raymond told lawmakers that USDA does not need mandatory recall authority, saying the problem with E. coli is upstream from the packer, either in the environment, feeding, or shipment of cattle. Raymond also speculated that E. coli strains are developing resistance to lactic acid washes that packing plants apply to beef carcasses after slaughter. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Time now to take a quick look at what's been happening in the world of the cash market. We're joined by Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing, out of Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the basis levels in your area for the week.
Well, we've seen the corn basis continue to just steadily kind of improve here as we move forward. We will probably, within a few weeks here, be, you know, changing the nearby bids to the March contract. The still good carry in the market, and basis is improving steadily, but not, you know, coming in gangbusters. Soybeans tended to be kind of mixed here this week, and we saw some of the, especially the processor locations, kind of back off some. Evidently, futures going up higher has tended to buy some beans. We've seen cash movement, I believe, but most of the cash sales, has been for, you know, January and further out and new crop, I believe.
Would you think it would be all right for a farmer to open the bin back up and just sell?
I think selling some stuff for out in the deferred months is a good idea at this point. Get yourself, you know, cash flow-wise, make sure you've got yourself in position that you want to be. I could see as we move into January here on the corn, piles get picked up, January book starts coming in, we could see a little bit of pressure back on the bases again.
What about for next year? What are your suggestions at
this
point?
Well, I think you definitely need to be making sales for 08 as well as 09. You know, the real question is how much and what percentage and that. And that really has to be a conversation or a decision made on each individual's own situation, because everybody's a little bit different on what you're comfortable with in that. But I definitely think you need to have some new crop on the books, as well as probably some 09.
And those decisions have gotten complicated as the dollar gets weaker, I assume.
Yeah, that's and just comfort level and how you go about protecting it. If you've got old crop grain, you've got, for example, in the corn market, you have carry in the market. So if you got old crop grain and you want to sell the 08, you know, you do have some protection there in case things do go higher. So, you know, there lot of questions that you got to answer in determining what amount you want to sell there.
Your bids for the day?
January corn is $3.78, beans $10.
Thanks much, Bill.
Thanks.
Bill Mayers with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, 2 minutes away from the agriculture weather forecast. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Tracy Parsons says the Champaign County Urban League needs new energy and ideas. The president and CEO of 13 Years stepped down today, saying the last year has been particularly challenging with the loss of its largest state grant and declining funds at the federal level. But Parsons says he's also proud of the types of programming the Urban League could offer in his time here and has picked up a lot of experience he can take with him. Parsons had no immediate future plans but does plan to serve in a consulting role to help the agency find a new president. Federal authorities have broken up a counterfeit ring involving two Savoy residents. A grand jury has indicted 20-year-old Cordaro Dorsey and 19-year-old Jasmine Green. The U.S. Attorney's Office says the two allegedly conspired to pass more than $3,400 in counterfeit money at the Savoy Walmart. They were charged with passing more than 30 counterfeit $100 bills at the store in late September. Each faces multiple charges. A University of Illinois faculty staff committee has been asked to rework an agreement between the U of I and donors of a new initiative. Law professor Tom Ulan is overseeing that committee. He says the Academy on Capitalism and Limited Government Fund had language in the memo that was contrary to university policy. He says the fund should not be supporting conferences, speeches, and scholarships that reach a particular outcome. The Academy became public last month and was designed to use grants to promote a mission of free market capitalism and individual rights. Voters in Savoy will be asked in February to approve a half-cent sales tax. Mayor Bob McCleary says the village has taken over many township roads as the village has expanded. He says that will cost around $15 million over the next 15 to 20 years. The mayor says this would be the fairest way to hike taxes, since many of the people paying that tax will come from outside the community. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL. We're joined on this Thursday afternoon, as we are each and every Thursday, by Pete Levitt to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's kind of a beautiful day. I've been from one end of the state to the other in the last 18 hours, and it's all gorgeous.
Yes, it is. The temperature's getting up there into the 60s, as a matter of fact, in a few spots across central and southern areas, mostly in the 50s up north. Weak cold front's coming through, but that's not going to impact the temperatures very much. We'll see similar temperatures tomorrow and more fair weather. And then when we get into the latter part of the weekend, we're going to see the weather going downhill, two things are going to happen. First, it's going to warm up considerably with some cloudiness, and with that what we call warm advection, there'll be some cloudiness and then some rainfall eventually as the front gradually works its way eastward Sunday and Monday. So we look for temperatures probably Sunday being the warmest day, maybe Monday up into the 60s up north, and then they'll cool off as the storm goes by and we'll see some precipitation most likely on Sunday and again on Tuesday with the cold front following the warm air late Monday and on Tuesday.
In Iowa, they still had some corn to harvest as of last Saturday. I suppose they've been moving along fairly quickly.
Yeah, they're going okay. They'll start to see the effects of the precipitation, but not as much as eastern Iowa will see some precipitation, but that's not where any problems are. They'll get everything done. The harvest doesn't seem to be much trouble. This isn't going to linger anyway.
And then if you talk a little bit about South America for me.
Yeah, South America, again, rain has been the feature in Brazil. It had shifted north to give some beneficial rains to the west-central area, or what they call the center-west area, and the soybean areas of the north and the other summer crops to the north. But this week, it's shifted back south again, and so we see the heavy rains getting back into Rio Grande do Sul, and here they'd like to get some wheat maturing, and it's going to have a problem here with excessive rains in the south. But for the corn and the soybeans in Brazil, the weather looks fine. In the Argentine, they're dry, but they've had abundant moisture this season. Really ideal growing weather. Temperatures, all told, in both Brazil and Argentina have been below normal, but this is summertime down there, and below normal temperatures are generally good for crops like corn and even soybeans because their temperatures do run awfully hot when they get normal to above normal.
Pete, thanks much.
My pleasure.
Peter Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Thursday afternoon to take a look at what's happening in the world of agricultural weather. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening commodity market report. That with your director of ag programming here at the station, Dave Dickey. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.